Perfect. Hi, hello everybody, and welcome again to another edition. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of Race and Refresh Happy Hour, episode 21, titled Hamlin Turns Heel. Did he really just turn heel? He's kind of been a heel. Anywho, a hearty Omaha to each and every one of you watching out there on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Thank you for tuning in. Have those comments flying fast and furious. I'm talking about a decade worth, if you catch my drift. And we'll get to them as we can. So, as always, I don't do it alone, thank God, because I don't know if you all would watch. But I have a fine casting crew that helped me out, and let's bring him in here and let's talk about it. First, he is the senior open wheel guru. He is the man with the finest hair I've ever seen. Let's bring him in. The best man himself, Colin Best. Come on in here, Colin. Let's talk about it. God, that's luscious. I mean, it's just luscious. It's just good. It's just good hair.
It's just the lighting. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. My fiance says it's awful and I need to cut it. But on the other hand, it was a fantastic weekend of racing. We had all three major motorsports race. It's kind of this weird season as racing approaches the dog days of summer, and football is 1 week away, my friend, as preseason football is around the corner. So if you're a sports fan, this is the greatest time of the year. Baseball is approaching the playoffs. Go Orioles, by the way. Hockey is coming back soon. Basketball coming back soon. MLS is on Apple TV for some freaking reason. I don't know why. But hey, you know, things are going great here in Northwest Florida. We have a lot to talk about today. A lot of controversy leaving Pocono. So, Logan, let's just get into it, my friend.
You're right. A lot of controversy. But we also don't do it alone. We have two other fine members that help us out. Let's bring the other one in, the show creator himself, the brains behind our beauty, if you will. Not that he's doing too bad. Trust me on that. Let's bring in my favorite Canadian for this next hour, Adam Carabine. Come on in here, Adam.
Howdy, howdy from up north here in Canada. Good to see you guys. And yeah, looking forward to what could be a spicy show today.
Could I get an A?
It could be pretty spicy, eh?
Yeah, there we go, hey, brother. All right, let's bring in.
You can't just do it on command. It's got to be natural.
All right. Well, you know.
I'll see what I can do.
You know. Anywho. Let's bring in the producer. Look, she loves Barbie. She loves Oppenheimer. Let's bring her on in, producer Peggy Lore.
I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet.
It's Oppenheimer, and I have.
See, prove.
It's 3 hours of beautiful cinema. Honestly, the visual effects are great. Nothing, no CGI in the entire movie. So they recreated the atom bomb test without using an atom bomb. What really should have been the experience that Nolan should have given is when the bomb get off, the actual theater explodes to get the full effect. But I don't think that would have been good for business. But it would be good for realism.
I think they're doing Oppenheimer 4D at like SeaWorld or something. That's you get the explosion at the end.
But it was a good movie. Robert Downey Jr. put his whole thing in it. He is, if he does not win Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars, I will be very disappointed.
Interesting, interesting.
Well, I'm a man that knows a thing or two about explosions. You catch me out there and I had a chicken wings and look, wow. It's going to be on. Anywho. Oh,
gosh.
Anywho, let's talk some racing, shall we?
Yeah.
Stuff. All right, so it's time for our weekend review. All right, here's the piece of news that no one is none too thrilled about. Kyle Busch won the Truck Series race on Saturday afternoon. That win is KBM's 100th. Of course, now they're in a now they believe in baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and yes, old dear Chevrolet. I'm going to go ahead and take this one. This was the first week I mentioned they were looking for their 100th win. And then, like clockwork, within 12 hours, Kyle Busch said, "Hold my cheddar's chicken." So yeah, great for KBM. Anybody got any thoughts on that?
Fantastic race towards the end. It was probably, you know, we haven't seen a last lap pass in the Truck Series in quite some time. And, you know, granted, I mean, he did win in his own equipment, and that KBM equipment hasn't been the fastest we've expected to. So Kyle Busch has earned these wins in the Truck Series as of late, the past couple of years. So it's actually kind of great to see that there's more competition in the Truck Series now than there has been in the past. You know, Kyle Busch actually has to earn these wins instead of just running away with it that we saw in the early 2010. So to me, great truck race. Looking forward to the next one.
Huh, are you suggesting that he didn't have to earn them before? Boy, that was kind of my whole point complaint there. That's, well, I'll be dipped in manure. But all righty. Austin Hill got it done, got his fourth win of the season of the Xfinity Series, kind of reminding everybody that he's also in this championship picture. Of course, Austin Hill, we'll talk a little bit more about him because he's in some scuttlebutt about, you know, silly season. Those rumors are flying. Matt Marsh says, great finish to the truck race. Think everyone was hoping Corey Heim was going to hold him off. I know I was. Look, I don't know what kind of religion y'all believe in, but I was a participant of every single one of them for a hot second there. But all kidding aside, great move by Kyle Busch. Well, Matt, let us know what you thought of the Xfinity race and the Cup race if you got a chance to watch. So again, Austin Hill got it done, RCR. Oh, Rich was back in victory lane. So did we all kind of forget about Austin Hill? Adam, I'll come to you for this. Did we all kind of forget that he's a championship contender as well?
A little bit, I think. You know, I feel like it was a couple weeks ago we were talking about who the favorite was to win the championship in kind of each of the series. And we talked a lot about John Hunter Nemechek and how he's kind of had this, I don't know if you want to call it a renaissance season, but he's been, you know, right at the top. He's the leader in points right now still. But yeah, Austin Hill quietly, in a weird way, quietly, has also got four wins, same as John Hunter. And he hasn't looked out of place there. So yeah, definitely, I think it's between those two to win the championship. But I don't know. It's too early to tell. And with the playoffs, the way the format of the playoffs, it's hard to know, you know, exactly who's going to win. It comes down to that one final race. So
absolutely, let us know in the comments what you think about who's the championship favorite in Xfinity Series. Denny Hamlin, all right, he won his 50th in some controversial fashion. Let's get to it. It was a big case of the Pocono's when Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson made some, oh, you thought that was funny, did you?
I like that. Yeah, the Pocono's.
Yeah, a big case of the Pocono's. So it got pretty darn hairy real quick. Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, they look to have made contact. Now, Denny Hamlin, who apparently is doing a great Stevie Wonder impression these days, swears they didn't make contact. I think that is a bunch of bunk, as my grandfather would say. It looks to me very clear they made contact. You know, I know that Denny went on the Action's Gentlemanal and again, and at one point I didn't know he was getting inaugurated because he was ready to swear on a Bible. But I just don't personally see how you can say they didn't make contact. And then Kyle Larson made a whole lot of contact with him under caution. No penalties are going to come out of that deal. Fellas, I want your opinion on it. Colin, I'm going to start with you. We're going to bring producer Peggy in for this, but Colin, I want to start with you. The Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson, you know, feud. You know, if Hamlin has turned heel, is Larson the babyface? What say you?
See, I'm of the opinion they didn't touch, and this isn't me being a Denny Homer fan.
Is the absolute biggest crock you've ever said on this show.
I was looking at the pictures of the side of the car. There was no damage. There was no contact from either. I think, you know, they just got too high, and, you know, Kyle Larson just ran out of room, just kind of like what happened. I mean, the thing is, I can't keep a straight face with Logan doing stuff. Hold on. 3, 2, 1. Anyway, so yeah, so with Ross Chastain, you know, there was some contact, there was some bad blood, but you know, with this situation, I look at it as, you know, Kyle Larson has kind of done the same thing before to a lot of other people. He did it to Chase Elliott twice in the past couple of years, once at the Watkins Glen and once at Auto Club in the first year of the next gen car. So last year. I mean, Kyle Larson uses people up to race too. I think that's kind of now you have to race in the Cup Series, is you kind of have to use some people up. And, you know, we talk about the lack of respect the past couple of weeks, especially during the Ross Chastain Don't Give a Damn tour. You know, that's sort of how you race now with these next-gen cars. So I don't blame what Denny Hamlin did. He did what most people would probably do. I think if Kyle Larson was the roles reversed, Kyle Larson would do the same thing. You're trying to win a Cup Series race. And you know, that's 5 extra playoff points you can take into the first round of the playoffs. So for him, I'm all for what Denny Hamlin did. I have no problems. If that was if you and Logan were in the 5 car and I was in the 11 car, I'd do the same thing to you as well. I mean, even though I love you like a brother, I would do the same thing too.
Mm-hmm. Matt Marr says, think people only assume Hill can only get it done on the big plate tracks and Pocono proves he can do more than that. If Josh Berry doesn't get a flat tire from his teammate, I think it would have been a different result. That's a fair point, Matt. He said he's tossed with the Hamlin controversy. I need to know what that means in this context, but I like it. It sounds provocative. Like it's an old school style of racing, but what I'm more mad about is when the caution came out for Ryan Preece, should have been an extra OT in my opinion. We're going to talk about that as well. But first, Adam Carabine is going to tell us whether one Colin Best is right or wrong. And if he doesn't do the correct thing, I'll certainly do it later on.
Yeah. First, I just want to shout out Matt Marr. I could be wrong about this, but I feel like Matt Marr lives in Nova Scotia and I know they're going through some really tough flooding and stuff right now. So hope you're doing okay, Matt. Glad to have you tuning in today. As far as the Denny Hamlin incident, I kind of half agree with both of you, to be honest. I do think there was contact there, but I don't know. Is this the first time we've seen contact that results in another person getting the win? You know, like we have seen so many times where drivers are saying, well, it's the Cup Series. I want to get a win and I'll do whatever it takes. And that might include some contact. We've seen it countless times. What I don't agree with is I think Hamlin should just own it and say, listen, you know, this was my shot at the win. And I don't disagree with Colin that with these next gen cars, that might be the best way to pass right now, especially for the lead. So I don't know. I say own it, Denny, and say, yeah, you know what? I tried to use him up and get ahead of him because it's the Cup Series. I wanted to go for my 50th and for my record tying 7th win at, or record beating, sorry, record, new record, 7th win at Pocono. So I don't know. I feel like there was contact, but I don't necessarily have an issue with that. I just think that's racing right now, it seems like.
Tom Willoughby's doubt, and we appreciate you, Tom. He said he'd be more comfortable with Hamlin's moves if he just owned it instead of acting like he didn't make contact and trying to play innocent.
Oh, well, there you go, Tom.
Can I get a here and a here? Let's bring in – well, she doesn't have many opinions on the – okay, the big scuttlebutt. My dog literally threw my fan remote on the floor. But let's bring in Peggy Lorne and let's talk about what she thinks with this situation. Peggy, come on in. All right. What is your take on the Denny Hamlin Kyle Larson situation?
Well, I think Denny Hamlin is full of all kinds of trash this weekend. We'll get to one of those pieces during Happy Hour Headlines. But I think he definitely hit Kyle Larson.
He didn't hit him.
I like that she's going all Lee Corso with the pencil there. She's ready for college football season. That's a Lee Corso special.
I remember Denny, like with other incidents, he pulled up the old SMT data. Do you think we could see anything in there that would help determine whether there was a hit or not?
I don't know why we're not looking at the SMT data every week with Denny Hamlin. I mean, that seems to be a very reliable source to him, and if that's what he believes in, then by God, we'll do it for him. No, I think it is an absolute, here I come, folks, legality take. I think it is an absolute crock, a bull butter, when Denny Hamlin says he didn't hit him. I'm not saying that maybe, he goes, well, it didn't damage the car. Okay, oh, that's fine. This car also is well known to take more than the previous. But that's fine, Mr. Hamlin. I agree with Tom. I think Tom is hitting it on the head. It's not that it's Denny's hypocrisy I have an issue with. Look, if you're racing for the win, you can wreck your own grandma, and I get your point. I get it. This could be Denny Hamlin's last win ever. I don't think so, but you just never know when your last one is. So I get it. When you got a chance for the win, it's hook or crook, baby. I get it. The problem is no one has preached more about respect in the last several months than Denny Hamlin, than old hamstring Hamlin himself, than the hack Hamlin, if there ever was one. But when it comes to him, it's rules for thee, but not for me. And so that is my issue. And then he gets out and he acts like he did his best Kyle Busch impression. He acted like an absolute child getting out there. He act like you've been there, Denny. So it was an absolute just. And then did anybody see press pass? Did anybody see press pass? He acted like a child to the media. He acted like a child to the media. It was absolutely ridiculous. It was just ridiculous. But Colin, I want you to go ahead and you figure out how to spin that for me. Let me know, bud. What do you think?
Look, the thing about what race car drivers or what the, I guess, less emotionally or less intelligent NASCAR race fans there are, and there seems to be a lot of them on Facebook, is that these people don't realize is that you're not second in any Cup Series race. You're paid to win a race. And that's what Denny Hamlin understands. And, you know, Dale Earnhardt wrecked people all the time and never really owned it. But we give a pass to Earnhardt, but we don't give a pass to Dale Earnhardt. I mean, we don't give a pass to Denny Hamlin. I'm of the belief that Denny Hamlin did nothing wrong, but I'm also of the belief that Kyle Larson, as he says, he'll start wrecking people in his post-race press conference, and, you know, he's going to change his racing style. I'll believe it when I see it. There's a lot of people who say, oh, I'm going to wreck him. Denny Hamlin did it last year, and he said, I have a list. And I don't think many names have been crossed off that list, Denny Hamlin. I mean, I don't think Kyle Larson's going to do jack squat to Denny Hamlin in the future, unless they're in a battle for the win, then maybe. But I still don't think it's going to happen, because as we approach the playoffs, I think it'd be a hell of a lot worse of a penalty from NASCAR if Denny Hamlin got wrecked by Kyle Larson intentionally in like the last race of the playoffs and Denny Hamlin didn't make it. I feel like that would be such a huge thing that NASCAR would have to police. Would that be kind of race manipulation? We saw it earlier this year. So to me, I kind of think, you know, we're going to see Richmond, how it goes, to see if payback happens. But to be honest, I think this is kind of where the story stops. It'll be something NBC talks about the rest of the year, of saying, will Kyle Larson wreck Denny Hamlin, or what's going to happen? I honestly think nothing's going to happen moving forward. This guarantee it. For the next 5 years, Denny Hamlin will probably not get wrecked by somebody on purpose. Guarantee it.
And he won't own it at all when he wrecks
somebody. Denny's great.
Everything Denny does is amazing.
Look, nothing wrong with Daddy Dennis. I get it. Kyle Larson already directs people. He doesn't need to change his style to get revenge. Chase Elliott approved this comment. Whoa, baby. Look, I don't know how. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Best. Do you have any diecast sitting on your desk at this moment?
I'm gonna have to. Yeah, I do.
Do you have any? Oh.
Yeah, but this is when Denny Hamlin wasn't a dick, though. This is a 2000. This is his rookie year car.
Oh.
And by the way, this is from Matt Nicholson. So thank you, Matt, if you're watching right now. But this is a Denny Hamlin rookie car. This is when Denny was a future NASCAR Series Cup champion. He had so much potential. Now look at him. 3 Daytona 500 championships, 50 wins in NASCAR's top division. You know, I heard Dale Jr. say it on his podcast. Maybe this could be the thing that gives Denny Hamlin the killer instinct like Jordan did when he was with the Bulls. And maybe Denny Hamlin, at the end of 2023, may get his first NASCAR Cup Series championship and sort of complete his Hall of Fame career. Because it already is going to be a Hall of Fame career. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get me wrong.
Imagine he wrecks Larson at Phoenix for the championship. Like, if we thought the Boos were bad at Pocono, I don't know. That would be.
But NASCAR needs villains. I don't understand the problem that people have with if Denny Hamlin's a jerk and whatever, then let him be a jerk because NASCAR needs personalities. F1 has them, IndyCar has them. And the NASCAR fans on Facebook say, oh, we want drivers with personality. And then when drivers show personality, they're like, boo, you suck. We don't want that much personality. What do you want? Do you want people to be just pencils or do you want people to be like, you know, nice Bic 3000 pens, you know, like the nice fountain pens that have class and style? So you got to decide what you want. But Denny Hamlin, he made an exciting Pocono race, which historically has been snoozers, mind you. Pocono races have been some historically been snoozers. I got to be honest with you. I enjoyed the weekend. It was great just because, you know, this Denny Hamlin car. I'm going to get his championship diecast.
let's let producer Peggy get back to producing the show there. And we got a comment here from Matt again. It's one thing to say they're tired of being raised a certain way, but also look at a guy like Mark Martin. Cleanest guy on the track when he raced, owned up to any mistakes, and was still one of, if not the most respected guy in the garage. And I feel like drivers forget things like that. Thoughts? No? It's quiet over there.
I agree. I agree tenfold. Look, it's to me, my issue with Denny is this. It is the biggest load of hypocrisy that I've seen in recent memory. That's nobody can deny that in my view. I know that Colin also, if Denny Hamlin is Stevie Wonder, then Colin is, and I don't mean any disrespect, buddy, but apparently you overdid it on your birthday, and all of a sudden you're Ronnie Millsap. It's no big deal. The reality is this. This man preaches and whines and moans and says we need to get back to respect. But he didn't show any respect. He didn't show any respect to anybody. If anyone is okay, or I shouldn't say, like, it's not an outrageous behavior. It's not like he pulled his pants down and whizzed in the crowd. But all kidding aside, if anyone wants to pretend that he was respectful for any bit of 30 minutes or an hour when it came to the post-race interview, and then the media session, he wasn't. He was combative because let me tell you what, if I didn't do anything wrong, I don't know if I would be as combative as Denny Hamlin was. If deep in his heart, he believes I didn't do a thing, look, this ain't court, but if he was on the witness stand, you'd start to be like, why are you so, take a chill pill there, Denny. On a scale of 1 to 10, he felt very combative and very defensive from the outset of those questions. Can we agree on that?
No, Denny's right. He's great.
Okay. All right. Breaking down that race still as well, we have to talk about we got to talk about, should there have been another caution? We saw Ryan, I believe it was Ryan Preece, stall out at, you know, two to go, and people said, boy, Yada, you should have threw a caution there. What's your take on the caution debate that this race ensued? Adam, I'll come to you.
It's a tough call. It's again, one of these, we've talked about these a couple times, not even just with cautions, but even with, you know, rain and all these things. It's one of those decisions that looks super easy after the fact, but there's always going to be people that think NASCAR made the wrong one. And it's easy to say that afterwards because hindsight is 2020. So in the moment, yeah, it kind of looked like he was going to get it refired and just keep going. And I would say then at that point, you don't need the caution. Have we seen cautions thrown for less? Absolutely. But, you know, you don't want to impact the end of the race. But and then at the same time, he couldn't get it going and it was proving to be a problem. And it turns out the caution should have been thrown. So I think, should it have been? Yeah, probably. But do I fault NASCAR and think that there's like some grand conspiracy to get Denny his 50th win or something like that? No, I really don't. I think everything is happening so fast and NASCAR just has to make the best decision they can in the moment. And I don't know if anyone else could really do any better than what I think they're doing. So I say, what can you do? It's one of those things that accidents happen.
I completely agree. It's a judgment call. And I can understand why people disagree with the judgment call, but that's just it. It's a judgment call. Put a different human being in a different situation, they'll view it differently.
I also think that because Denny is kind of unliked right now, I think if someone else other than Denny had won as a result of that kind of caution mix-up, I think people wouldn't be as mad as they are.
Priest says, Matt Maher, pardon me, says, if Priest can get going immediately, no caution, race to the finish, absolutely, but he was there stalled and for long enough before the white flag. Well, you got to remember, Matt, I don't mean to, you know, I'm not getting paid by NASCAR here, but you got to remember NASCAR is consistent in the fact of they leave a fair amount more leeway at the end of the race. They always have in recent years. And you also have to remember how big Pocono is. You know, if this is Richmond we're talking about, then I absolutely agree. Throw that sucker right now. But on a huge track like Pocono, when you consider the fact they are consistent in the fact of they leave more room at the end of the race, and you consider the fact that Ryan Preece made no contact with anything, I have a hard time really faulting NASCAR. Again, in retrospect, does it look rough? I think that's fair. But
if you think that NASCAR would prefer a Denny Hamlin win that is actually a caution thrown after the white flag, then you're wrong. I'm sorry, you're just wrong. NASCAR always wants that race to the finish line for the checkered flag. And so did they have to throw the caution in the end? Yes, they did. But I'm sure that their preferred finish would have been a regular checkered flag, whether that was under OT or not. That's all I got.
Look, I agree. Colin, any thoughts on this before we move along?
Yeah, I feel like this, it came down to Ryan Preece not getting the car refired. The thing about NASCAR takes safety precedent over everything, especially with the, as we're coming out of the next gen safety issues slowly and surely. To me, you know what Logan said, if this was Richmond or if it was Bristol, the caution would have come out immediately as the car spun. But I mean, if Ryan Preece, let's say he spun because he was near the access road, if he got his car off into the access road and he couldn't get it refired, I think we still have a green flag finish because he's kind of out of the way. But to be honest, the caution coming out, I don't think would have changed the outcome. I think, you know, Denny was so far in front and Martin Truex Jr. was so tight later in the race that he couldn't really turn. That's why he couldn't get around Kyle Larson to begin with. So, I mean, it would have still been the same result. I feel like people are – you're just mad that Denny Hamlin won over the fact that the race ended under caution. If it ended under caution and Martin Truex Jr. won, I don't think everyone would have had it like such a bad perspective. But since Denny Hamlin is public enemy number one in the NASCAR Cup Series right now, it would be it's going to be cause vitriol and chaos on social media. So for me, it's hard to be a NASCAR official these days because every decision you make, good or bad, someone's going to hate you for it. So I actually give more credit to NASCAR than I think that they should have because it's such a hard job to have.
I think that's fair. We got to keep moving along. We will talk the Austin Dillon situation with Tyler Reddick later on in the show. So stay tuned for that. Keep your comments coming. We will read them as we can. Please keep them coming. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like and share and subscribe. We greatly appreciate that. We can only grow this as much as you allow us to. All right, Colin. So tell us about Indy and F1. First on Indy, Joseph Newgarden swept that doubleheader, won both races. Break it down for us real quick.
See, I told you he was going to dominate last Wednesday, and by golly, I was right about something because I thought Kyle Larson would be the winner in the picks, and I guaranteed it, and I guess I got 8 more hot dogs. But I should have did a hot dog bet on the IndyCar race where Joseph Newgarden had absolutely dominated. We saw that last year. Now IndyCar goes into a little bit of a break that they're going to be in because the next race, I think we have a month off. See, this is what I hate about the IndyCar schedule because it's so long between races. It absolutely blows my mind that I forget where we're going because I think the next race is a month away. I think it's probably Gateway or something like that. Yeah, so it's probably Gateway. So to me,
it is the streets of Nashville, August 6th.
Huh. Oh, okay. So, hopefully we'll be there. Adam, we'll be there.
I'll be watching from Italy.
No, but will we, Racing Refresh, invade Nashville?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I'll get back to you.
We'll keep you guys tuned in.
You want to but, you know, Adam, that's what he wants. He wants a credential. If you're not catching that, just letting you know.
Oh, he knows. He knows. But I think where the IndyCar season, this is actually kind of, for me, one of the first duds of the entire season because we haven't had seen a guy dominate like we have Joseph Newgarden did the past two races at Iowa. And certainly could have the race been better. Yeah, we also had a caution controversy where we had a tire that fell off a car there for about 5 laps, and it was just there, and no one threw a caution, which is probably more dangerous because they're Indy cars, and those tires, if they get hit, they will fly through the air. We saw that in the Indianapolis 500 with Kyle Kirkwood. So to me, it's weird that Iowa's turned into somewhat of an IndyCar event with the concerts and Ed Sheeran saying he had fun. And it looked like a great time. Iowa turned into a fantastic race spot on the IndyCar calendar. I wish the Cup Series would go there. I think it would be a great show. I think people would show up for it. So please, IndyCar, keep Iowa on the schedule. Keep it as a doubleheader. It's good for the sport. It's good for that racetrack because there hasn't been racing at it in quite a long time in the NASCAR world. So for me, still C- race for the IndyCar series. It was good, but not memorable.
He hit you with that Jay Leno. It was good. All right, F1, Max Verstappen won again, despite Lewis Hamilton getting the pole. Colin, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton kind of lost the whole shot going into turn one, and Max Verstappen sort of led when the field came back to complete the first circuit of the event, and then he pulled away and dominated. I would still think that Sergio Perez finished P2, which is finally, I would say, gets the monkey off his back because out of all the drivers in Formula One, he's sort of on the hot seat right now of where he will be next year. No one really expects him to sign with Red Bull again, or Red Bull doesn't expect to sign him again as they're looking for Daniel Ricciardo, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Perez was P3, Norris was P2. Adam saved me there. I always like the Hungarian Grand Prix. It's Monaco without walls for a reason. There's not a lot of passing, and strategy does come into play. I will say that McLaren has impressed me the past couple weeks. Whatever upgrades they've done to their car absolutely have worked. Lando Norris was probably the 15th fastest guy to start the Formula One season. Now he's a podium contender each and every single week now. So good for him. Now we have 12 straight wins for Team Red Bull. They have won every single race so far this season. So the Red Bull domination will continue going into Spa-Francorchamps this weekend. And I think Daniel Ricciardo knocked it out of the park. Didn't get a points finish, but he did outfinish Yuki Tsunoda, his teammate from AlphaTauri. And he was inside the points for a little bit. He got as high as seventh at the Formula One race. So for me, he did everything he needed to do. He'll get more comfortable as we go to Spa. Then Formula One goes into the summer break, which we get a month off. So no Formula One for a month. But I think come Singapore, I think Daniel Ricciardo will start finishing in points positions throughout the rest of the season.
We shall see. I know you'll break it down for us. Let's talk about Daniel Ricciardo. You mentioned him. He finished 13th in his first start of the season. What were your thoughts there?
It's great to see Daniel Ricciardo. When I turn on the race and they, you know, they do the title and they show up the drivers, it's kind of like a jump scare. Like Daniel Ricciardo was just there. He just is the big smile, the charismatic energy. I really did enjoy it. Now, they did have something that I didn't put in the script, but I don't know if you guys saw this. They had a kids-only broadcast on Sky Sports. Now, I could not see it because here in America, we don't get Sky Sports. I don't know, in Canada, do you guys get Sky Sports?
I don't believe so, no. Okay.
They had a kids-only version. And it, apparently, the pit reporter for the kids version was taller than Yuki Tsunoda, which I thought was fantastic. The dude's 8 and he's towering over him. But Danica Patrick said, like, probably the worst thing ever when the guy, people asked her, is like, hey, do you think more women should get into motorsports? And then she was like, women don't have the killer instinct that men have. And I'm like, you are telling me that kids are watching this and they might think they want to be women. Women can be race car drivers too. And you're telling me that you, Danica Patrick, who's only had one career win in the IndyCar series, who really hasn't done anything in her entire career other than, I don't know, wear a bikini on a GoDaddy commercial and somehow do a fuel mileage win in Japan. You're telling women, girls, they can't be race car drivers. I feel like you could have done better. She's my idiot of the week for sure.
We're working on the graphic for that, I'm sure.
We should. I like it.
But interesting stuff. In NHRA, Gage Herrera won Pro Stock Motorcycle. Tom Wilkerson in the funny car. John Force got his first pole of the season. And then Steve Torrance in Top Fuel. So there's your quick NHRA update.
Friend of the show, John Force.
Yeah.
First number one qualifier down in Seattle. Yeah.
We might get some more NHRA coverage, I've heard, through the scuttlebutt.
Oh, you never know. I can neither confirm nor deny.
We'll see what happens. All right.
There's a certain appeal to it, you know?
We oh, golly. Almost falling out of a chair. All right. Now it's time for some happy hour headlines. All righty. There we go. Pocono ratings are up. It was a sellout crowd. Pocono's back, baby. Look. The Beach Boys can talk about Kokomo all they want, but I want to take you up to Pocono. So that was great to see. It goes to show that one day to the track can work. Again, the ratings were up this week, but we got other things to get to from that race. Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick, boy, those former teammates. The bad blood was brewing on Sunday afternoon. So Austin Dillon threw his helmet at Tyler Reddick. Well, that was his intended target. It damn near hit the 43, and I was going to have a stroke. So I don't know why Austin Dillon is upset. Here's my take. Because, you know, Austin Dillon hasn't done a whole lot of media yet this week. I'm sure we'll get some more comments at Richmond. Let me try to get into the mind of one AD Austin Dillon, the second greatest driver to drive the 3 car. So here's my thought. I think Austin Dillon is extremely frustrated. I think he sees that a Hall of Famer has come over and he has made this equipment better than it probably actually is. You can't tell me he doesn't see the disparity in that. You can't tell me that he's not feeling the pressure. And I think that speaks to a lot of things that happened this week. Ryan Preece and Corey LaJoie. this is the time, you know, the pressure in this sport, ladies and gentlemen, is insane. Because it's not just about, not only is everybody realizing we got five to go to the playoffs, and you got to, you know, everybody's still trying to get in there, even if it's not a good realistic shot. Because you're trying to figure out, well, what about pit strategy? Can rain help me out? We got Daytona where anybody could win. And so the pressure's there on playoffs, which means a lot for futures of teams. Not only that, for the ones that are going, well, playoffs doesn't look great unless a lot of things go our way. You're also fighting for a job because silly season is in full swing. We'll get to the Justin Haley news momentarily. You're fighting for a job. And so you the pressure this week showed out because I mean, Ryan Preece was looking like Clint Bowyer with that stuff on Court of the Joy. The tempers were hot and they were real. If you don't think the pressure is immense in this sport this time of year, in the words of Judas Priest, you got another thing coming. Because that everybody, I mean, frankly, I think some of it's getting to Denny Hamlin because I thought some of his behavior was a little out of character, the way he kind of leaned into heel mode. This sport is just such a grind, and it's that time of year where you're fighting to survive, not only for this season, but next season. What's your take on the Austin Dillon incident, Adam, the helmet throw? I think there's bad blood and there's bitterness from RCR. I think that shows.
I was just pulling up
RC's quote on that.
That's what I was just saying. Yeah, on the radio, Richard Childress I'll censor it here, but that little S word just wrecked him. Talking about Tyler Reddick, clearly some remaining bad blood, I guess, from when Tyler Reddick signed with 2311 and got the heck out of there. But don't forget that Austin Dillon has also got that 60 point penalty from earlier this season. So he's sitting 30th in points. That's a must win. I mean, not that the 60 points would have made a difference. That would put him in 24th. But some of these drivers who are in that 17 to, I guess, 30 range, who maybe, you know, feel like they, for whatever reason, deserve a spot in the playoffs. It's getting down to crunch time. And I guess, yeah, I mean, it makes for great TV. I mean, do I condone the helmet throw? Maybe not, but I love to see it on TV. And I think it, you know, if this is a Pocono race that has the highest ratings it's had and since 2017, then great. We want more people to see that kind of stuff. I think it's great for the sport just to have these rivalries and these kind of angry drivers. So keep it up, I say.
Are we doing this next headline?
We don't have a lot of time, so producer Peggy is going to have to be quick. Here she is.
I'm just going to lean back in my chair before this happens.
We'll keep it brief here, producer Peggy.
Denny Hamlin this week tweeted out that, quote, Barbie might be the worst movie ever made. Not even Will Ferrell could save it, end quote. And I would like to say to Denny Hamlin, did we watch the same movie? Because for you to say that, and for my eyes to see that, I can't with you. It discredits your entire racing career. It discredits everything. And you know what? You probably thought it was a bad movie because of how you acted in your post-race interview, because that movie was for PG-13 and you acted like a child, and certainly not PG-13. And with that, I have more opinions, but they're not Racing Refresh Happy Hour appropriate. And while I would usually end my segment with Chase Race a lot, this week I'm going to end it with my personal favorite Barbie car that I had as a child. The key there would open up the trunk. And one time my cousin stole the key from me and I could never open the trunk again.
Can I say something?
Sure. We're, it seems to be the theme of the show.
So, Peggy, I just have a – this is a statement and a question.
Yes.
The question is, are you going to invite Denny Hamlin to the Mojo Dojo Casa House? And two, I haven't seen the movie, so I can't agree or disagree. I'm going to go see it Friday. Saw Oppenheimer, great movie. But my fiance saw Barbie, and she made it very clear to me, the movie is not for people like me. It is meant for people like her. It's for men. We're just going to enjoy it. Just enjoy the movie. It's fun, but it's not meant for you. That's all I'm going to say.
It is only meant for you if you played with Barbies in the 90s/early 2000s. So if Denny Hamlin did not play with Barbies in the 90s or early 2000s, of course he's not going to enjoy the movie. So for him to say that and figuratively spit in my face was an insult.
We better move on.
And Producer I expect Peggy. An apology.
I don't know if you're going to get that apology from Denny. He's not even willing to apologize to Kyle Larson, so I don't think I think you're low, you're low on the list. Kyle
Larson, he did nothing wrong.
We better move on, but thank you, Producer Peggy. It's been enlightening.
Matt Nicholson said inside quarter is what he would have been yelling at Austin Dillon. Matt Nicholson will be on the show next week. He's going to take the Adam Carabine role for a while because you'll be eating pizza. I assume that's what they do in Italy. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
So I back to the Austin Dillon situation again. I think it's just a lot of pressure and there's bitterness between Tyler Reddick and RCR that becomes very, very apparent. So we've gotten to Denny Hamlin's awful take on the new Barbie movie where he allegedly pissed off thousands. Joe Gibbs seems to confirm that Hamlin will return to JGR. He did seem to give that vibe. However,
nothing's official.
Nothing is official. And there was a time where he pretty much confirmed that Kyle Busch was going to come back. It's just about getting to the deal. Do you believe, is it a certainty to you? Colin, you're the Denny Hamlin stan, the only one I can stand, to be honest with you. Is it a certainty to you that Denny Hamlin will be back? Again, a certainty that Denny Hamlin will be back at JGR. I'm being very particular with my words. More likely than not, yes, a certainty.
I'm 50% sure. So the thing is where Denny Hamlin's concern is that how much does he want to do his own thing with 2311, or does he kind of see the writing on the wall? Because I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but FedEx has not been on that car a lot this year. It just hasn't. I know they're still sponsored, Denny Hamlin's. I know he's still in the fire suit or the quarter panel or the C post on his car. And I've never heard of Mavis tire and brakes before in my life.
But you have now.
Yeah, now I have. I think it all comes down to if FedEx resigns, because FedEx is also in the conversation of leaving at the end of 2023. And if it does, that'd be a huge loss for Joe Gibbs Racing as a whole, because I mean, that's probably the biggest sponsor left in NASCAR is FedEx. They've been around since 2006. I mean, the cars used to look like this, which was just plain black and orange. Now they kind of look like crap. Gotta be honest with you. FedEx paint scheme used to be great. Remember the four different paint schemes? You got the Freight, the Office, the Express, and the Kinko's paint scheme.
Sure.
Beautiful. Those are great. Now we just have just FedEx. But I mean there's a lot of things. And 2311 has so much sponsorship and so much money coming into that program that I think that they can actually afford to fill a full-time third car for that entire team. And if Denny Hamlin does it, then you look at that 2311 team with Denny Hamlin being a good veteran, Bubba Wallace still trying to find his groove, and then Tyler Reddick, who's an established up-and-coming star in NASCAR, it'd be a great team to watch. But I mean, like you said, Logan, this is exactly what he said about Kyle Busch a year ago. And look what happened. Kyle Busch is now wearing a bow tie for dinner instead of, you know, I can't kind of think. Nice of there's That's no, really there's good. No, there's no clothing for Toyota.
Yeah. Well, look,
where does 2311 get their charter from? That's the only thing. So if Denny Hamlin's going to move over to 2311, they're going to need a new charter. Where do they get that from?
Well, you can make an argument that SHR might sell a charter. You can make an argument for that if Almirola retires to really fund the other cars. Because right now it's not looking great. People think I've become some SHR hater. Never been a fan, number one. So I didn't become anything. secondly, I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying it's the Kevin Harvick and friendship. And so I wonder if maybe you get a charter from there. Because I think they're going through a rebuild. And when rebuilds happen, we saw it with RFK, you downsize. You downsize and try to maximize your assets, is as the old saying goes.
I guess the other question is Denny willing to pay the charter fee or however much it is? Because they
You got to remember that the sport is in such uncertainty at this moment. It's an interesting thought. And that kind of leads us to our next topic. Justin Haley opted to sign with a multi-year deal with Rick Ware Racing. This broke last Thursday, I believe. So I was so mad that we were on Wednesdays for one time. So yeah,
that was big news.
Justin Haley leaving the Colic family, and it is like a family there. And he's going to Rick Ware Racing. I'll start here. I feel like he's got the inside track to the six car when Brad Kay calls it today. He mentioned RFK enough that I didn't know who he was driving for next year. I think that's what this is. I think Rick Ware really is trying to build. I mean, all kidding aside, he's probably, and I don't know this, folks. This is purely speculation. I don't feel like you're paying Ryan Newman the same amount of money you're paying, Rick Ware or Cody Ware, I should say. Like, there's a reason you go out and you try to get Ryan Newman to help your program. He helps build programs. So let's look at how much better RFK is post Newman than it was pre. And really, because it's something about RCR. And you might say, well, that's something about Newman. Bad. No, it's because he's got that engineering background and he helps everybody. He might be cantankerous, but he's extremely smart. I think RWR is trying to build, but is it realistic for them to become even a C team in the garage? I don't know. Adam, I want your thoughts. Justin Haley going to Rick Ware, multi-year deal, and it appears they're trying to build together. What say you?
Yeah, I think it's a risky move. I feel like Justin Haley, even just recently with that second place finish at the Chicago Street Course, is – you know, we know he's got that one win, which is kind of, you know, the win that might have, should have, could have, would have been Kurt Busch's win, but it still counts. But he's been recently kind of showing that he's not doing so terribly. And, I guess, you know, number of cup seats that are out there are limited. And so obviously it didn't seem like Cody Ware is coming back anytime soon, but I don't know. It's a risk. You know, Rick Ware is still not running great. And, you know, despite having a Ryan Newman here or there, and Cole Custer has come up and run a few, and JJ Yaley and all that, they just still aren't cutting it. And so I hope for Justin Haley's sake that Rick Ware does get better next year and that, you know, he can be part of that turnaround. I think that would be really great. I'd love to see it. And I think anytime you get more, you know, opportunities for better competition in the Cup Series, I think is great. But I just don't know if I see it, at least not next year. I think it might be a move that's a couple years early.
Well, I think it's a long-term process. Again, I think it's very possible that he's looking at the inside track to the sixth car. I mean, who knows? You know, that's a lot of speculation on my part and a lot of moving parts year to year. Colin, what say you on this Justin Haley news?
See, it's weird because if you follow other forms of motorsport, Rick Ware Racing's involved in a lot of things. And mind you, they're successful in a lot of other things except NASCAR. They're successful in GT. They have been successful in IndyCar with Romain Grosjean getting a podium last year but 2 years ago with the team. So you look at where they are and where they have been. They have had really bad drivers. I mean, they even put Derek Cope in the Daytona 500 last year. I mean, look how that turned out. He didn't even make it to lap three, but maybe that was the ghost of Earnhardt, you know, paying back Cope for winning the 94 Daytona 500. But to me, I Justin Haley has proven in the past couple of weeks that he's good enough to be in the Cup Series. And I feel like we always put too high expectations on rookies, especially when they're really good, like Justin Haley was in the Xfinity Series. He didn't do a bad job there. But we, as a fan base, and we put expectations on drivers, and especially with a new car, you know, there were really should have been no expectations for Justin Haley. Now we do have them. He can run top 15, top 10. He can even contend for wins in the NASCAR Cup Series. We saw that at Chicago. So I think this is the right move for Rick Ware. I do agree that this is a stepping stone for another Ford team, possibly RFK, most likely. But if, you know, Mike, would you rather have Justin Haley at SHR or would you rather have Michael McDowell replace Eric Almirola? I mean, I would take Justin Haley over McDowell by far. But it'll be very interesting to see maybe Rick Ware possibly in the top 20 next year. That'd be kind of cool to see.
Well, you got to remember he's got the two cars. It would not stun me, and I don't know anything, but it wouldn't stun me if he talks Ryan Newman into a full-time year next year to, again, help build that program. It wouldn't, you know, because if you're going to come running, you might as well come running. Or at least I could see Newman doing a more extended schedule than what the five races he's doing. You know, it depends on if he feels the next gen car is safe for the big tracks, quote unquote. I think RWR is on the upswing. It's going to take time, and time takes time, a wise man once told me, but I think that they're on the upswing, and I think this is good news. All right, Almendinger gave up track position for Rotomera and Xfinity. That's my Idiot of the Week award. You are 17 below the cut line. What are you doing? Does anybody know the word priorities at college racing? Because apparently Justin Haley wasn't that big a one.
Their thing is all about trophy hunting.
It's a nice trophy to hunt the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be doggone if that's not why we don't do this.
How big of an issue is it going to be to start in the back, though? I guess that's my question. Like, is
track position's king?
Absolutely, it is. But you know, with cautions and strategy and stuff, like Richmond is a shorter track as well. Like, I would be surprised if he finishes in the bottom 20.
I don't want to put out bad vibes here, but we might not get a full chance to find that out. There's rain in the Richmond forecast. We don't know what's going to happen.
It's the year of rain this year.
Did you guys look at the forecast yet?
I have not. No.
There's some rain in the area.
Uh-oh. Well,
it doesn't look like a boatload, but looks like if is a weaselly word when it comes to weather. But if the weather report stays the same, I'd be very surprised if we don't at least get a delay. My opinion.
I mean, 45% chance of rain.
It's early.
That's a little higher than we bike. Fair.
Absolutely, but it's early.
All right. LMC named a new CEO, Old Legacy Motor Club. Cal Wells III. Of course, Cal Wells got a ton of experience with Toyota over the years. I'm going to go ahead and kind of take this one. I like the move based on his experience and knowledge and the connections in Toyota. But here's my concern. I feel like there's a lot of people in high up positions for Legacy Motor Club, and I'm starting to wonder. You got to have one driving voice. On this show, it's Adam Carabine, as far as how we do things week to week on this website and show. You got to have one driving voice. And so I wonder if we're not getting a little bit of too many chiefs, too many cooks in the kitchen. Because now you got Jimmy Johnson. Now you got Murray Gallagher. Now you got Wells. Richard Petty's still hanging out. There's a lot of folks. Let's not forget that Mike Beam is still team president. There's a lot of people in there that even if their title doesn't say they have a ton of power, that's a lot of voices in the room. So yeah, it's just great sponsorship try there. I appreciate you. So that's interesting to me. Going to be interesting to see what happens. I don't know. I like the experience, but I worry that we're getting too many cooks in the kitchen. Ty Dillon going to get a new crew chief. Of course, Ty Dillon currently 32nd in the point standings. I think this is a very important move for Ty Dillon to see. This is the biggest final 15 race or whatever it is of his career. I believe that heart and soul. Because yeah. If not, he's out of a ride, and you're starting to run out of cup opportunities. I think he would get an Xfinity ride next year, but cup opportunities are getting slim. All right, we're running a little short on time, but it's time for our weekend preview. Weekend preview.
We're live, folks. Hey, oh, hey.
There we go. Oh,
there it is.
That's lovely. That's just lovely. So trucks and cup are at Richmond. The Xfinity's at Road America. So I'd like to see cup go back to Road America, but we'll see if that happens.
I'd like that too.
Any quick truck and Xfinity predictions for any of you gentlemen? Kyle, I'll start with you.
I think the truck is going to be an absolute crapshoot because it's a short track and it is truck series and they don't know how to race. We're talking about respect on the cup series. There's no respect on the truck series. But Corey Heim is going to probably take his winning ways away that he did not have at Pocono. He will probably win this weekend at Richmond. And the Road America race, it's always a fun one. But if AJ Allmendinger's in the field, I think he's going to get it done. So give me the dinger in the Xfinity series.
I like it.
It better be him if he's skipping out on qualifying for the Cup series.
Yeah. So. I'm going to go ahead and take Grant Enfinger and Cole Custer. How about you, Adam?
I'm going to stick with Corey Heim as well, and I'm going to give Sheldon Creed the Xfinity win. There you go.
All right. So NHRA is in Sonoma. And tell us about F1, Mr. Best.
Yeah, so F1 probably heads to one of the most fan favorite tracks on the schedule, the 7.04 mile Spa-Francorchamps. I say it French. I say it correct.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
But I think this week coming into the F1 race, there's going to be a lot of questions about the safety of Spa. The past couple weeks, if you remember, there was a death at Spa-Francorchamps going up Eau Rouge in Italian F4, where a driver did lose his life. So there's probably going to be a lot of questions that you're going to see if reprofiling Eau Rouge. Some fans are going to absolutely hate it because it's one of the traditional corners, and where's the danger if you're not an F1? But the other side is going to say, I don't like my favorite driver to die at a racetrack. Rain is expected on Friday, so expect no dry practice time before the sprint race that will set the field for qualifying. And then for the race itself, I mean, Red Bull's coming with more upgrades, and they're expected to be even faster at Spa-Francorchamps. So look for Red Bull to dominate. It'll be nice to see what Daniel Ricciardo can do, but I am going to go with getting the monkey off his back. I'm going to go Sergio Perez takes the win at Spa-Francorchamps.
We shall see. And with that, it's time for our Racing Refresh picks.
Racing Refresh picks.
Wow. Hey. Am I producing the show today?
I don't know. Adam, let us know the update.
Okay, well, we're going to breeze through this because we are running late. Peyton, producer Peggy, come on in here. There she is. Producer Peggy, busy back there, it must be.
Producer Peggy
wins again. Gosh, we can't. She just keeps winning. She wins again. She picked Bubba Wallace. She picked fourth, by the way. That's two wins in a row. So she picked last and she still beat us all. She still clowned us. So congrats to Peyton. So the picking order for Richmond, Colin, you are up first. What do you got for us?
So I still have heavy hitters on my list. And last week I picked Kyle Larson, and I thought I was going to be doing really good. Thought I was going to be doing really good.
You're still defending Denny. I'm surprised.
I'm still defending Denny because he did nothing wrong. Okay. Denny's great. He doesn't do anything wrong.
Review the footage.
He didn't touch him. There's a picture on the right side of Denny's car. There's no damage.
You can also rewind this show and find out what Colin thinks.
That is the most ignoramus logic I've ever seen in my life. You act like if we touch a door, we're going to certainly have damage. It's not how that works.
You didn't see smoke. You didn't see nothing. No spark.
Who are you picking, Colin? Who are you picking? Oh, did he mute himself? What's going on?
I muted them.
Colin, you got muted. I'm sorry.
You ever see the show Around the Horn? That's what I just felt like I was on.
Who are you picking?
My picks, I have Ryan Blaney, but I think he sucks at Richmond, so he's not going to get it done. I have AJ Allmendinger. He can't – no one can pass there. It's a short track package. I'm going to go with Adam's favorite because I still have him in the chamber. Give me old MTJ win at Richmond.
Good pick. It's a good pick. It's a smart pick. Logan, you're up next, my friend.
I'm going to take Ryan Newman.
All right. Is he in the 51 this week?
He is.
You've already picked the 51, my friend. I'm sorry to say.
That's fake news.
No,
the list you sent me.
You picked Andy Lally for the Chicago Street Course.
Dadgummit. All right. then I will take... Have I taken Chris Buescher yet?
You have not.
Let's go with him. Yep.
All right.
Christopher Buescher.
I am up next, and I am going to take... Oh, boy. It's so tough.
Was Buescher your pick?
It was. Yeah, I was thinking Buescher.
Good job, Logan.
I'm going to take LaJoy.
He's been running good.
Yep. Producer Peggy, who you got?
I haven't finally taken Kyle Busch yet.
You have not.
Wow.
I'll take Kyle Busch.
All right. There you have it. Racing Refresh Picks. Tune in next week to see who's the winner, except for I will be in Italy, so I won't be here to gloat.
Well, if you win, you can record something real fast.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. All right, it's time to close this mamma jamma down. Time for closing time. You go on screen for God's sake. Peggy,
closing
final words.
Time.
Peggy, final words.
My final words are everybody go see the Barbie movie and keep in mind it's not for you, it's for me. Only me.
Then why would we all go see it?
Because it's a good movie.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I would like to see it.
So. Colin Best, final words.
Go see Oppenheimer. Go see Barbie. Doesn't matter. Support the local cinema. You know, it was great being in an actual great movie like Oppenheimer. Even though it was 3 hours long. It was freaking 3 hours long. But I will say I enjoyed every single minute of it. I fell in love with the movies again. Denny Hamlin's always right. He didn't do anything wrong. I mean, maybe Denny Hamlin was right about his Barbie take. I won't know. I see the movie on Friday. So next Wednesday, I'll tell you with a shadow of a doubt if Denny Hamlin is right. P.S. He probably was. Anyway.
Adam Caroline, for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Shout out to my best friend, Jesse. He's getting married in Italy next week, and I am leaving tomorrow morning to go check it out and see the Italian countryside and all that good stuff. So I will be away from the show for the next 2 weeks. I will miss you guys. Please continue on without me. And I'll have, you know, some great Italian stories to share when I'm back.
Hopefully. I feel as though this request should be granted, though, that I'm about to say. Okay. If Martin Truex wins one of the next two races, you got to record something.
Well, I think you mean when he wins both of the next two races. Yes, I'll see what I can do.
Because we had Peggy do it when she was off.
I'm still going to be watching the races somehow. I'm going to find a way. I'm not sure exactly how yet. I'm not sure what time they'll be on at, but I'll find a way. So,
all right. Well, you enjoy your trip, and we will miss you, but we'll hold the seat down. Matt Nicholson will be here next week. He's subbing in, bringing it. The man, the inside quarter. We're going to talk about his spot and experience at Mid-Ohio. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about all the action from Richmond. We're going to tell him that he's got to get off my kind of my thing when it comes to Richard Petty and Legacy Motor Club. He's kind of taken the whole kit and caboodle on that in the fantasy league, and I'm not pleased. I've earned it. All right, I'm sitting through these painful moments. Anywho, with that, we thank you for watching the show each and every week. And this has been one of the more wild editions of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. We'll be right back here next week. Follow us on our social medias, please. That's on Twitter. That's on Facebook. That's on YouTube, the whole kit and caboodle. Like and subscribe. Keep it coming. Thank you. We can't grow it without you. We love you. Be safe. We'll see you next week to break down Richmond. Omaha, I'm outie.